If people ask you if you want to go do something in life, just say, why wouldn't a guy? Or why wouldn't a girl?
This is Jared Stoll from the Saskatoon Blazers. You're listening to the Monday Noonie Podcast.
This is former Notre Dame Hound and Regina Pat Barry Trotz, and you're listening to the Monday Nooner.
And welcome again to the special senior hockey edition of the Monday Nooner Podcast. I'm Barney Shinkrick, as always brought to you by our title sponsor, Rosetown GM and Rosetown Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Rosetown, Saskatchewan. Both the king of trucks and worth the drive every time. Also sponsoring the senior hockey talk on the program, of course, Freeze Tallman Lumber in Regina and Fort Capel. Anything you're doing or buying from those big box stores in the area, give Freeze Tallman a shot. They can probably help you out. And they got the pros that can help you get that done. If you need someone to build a deck, a fence, or whatever, they can get it all done for you. Don't forget about the window sale going on right now. Got to give a shout out to Synergy AG and Brad and the crew. Getting ready for seeding this year. Everyone at Synergy AG, thank you very much. Crop input retailer, 100% local. And all the interviews brought to you by Kent Bittner and Bittner Mortgages. If you need a mortgage, Bitsy, the old senior hockey stud himself, he can hook you up. So on this episode, we're going to talk about a Triple A team that went at it 3 years to try and win that elusive Allen Cup. If you played senior hockey, you know there's always or a lot of times talk of a team saying, hey, we're really good. You know, we've won A, we won this. We add a few pieces. Maybe we can make a run at this AAA thing and the Allen Cup. Well, it's been almost 10 years since the Shelbrook Elks thought, maybe it's time we go AAA. Chris Thompson was one of the key players and organizers of that first crack at this AAA senior thing and a road to the Allen Cup, along with one of the key recruits for two of the three seasons, Steve DeSilva. They're both going to take us on the journey of the Shelbrook Elks and their ups and downs and what it took. I think by about their third year, they figured out what was needed to have a solid nucleus to make a AAA team and a run work. And then they're also going to tell a story about one of the craziest quarterfinals in Allen Cup history, where a team is forced to forfeit minutes before the game. This is Chris Thompson and Steve DeSilva and I, and the story of the Shelbrook Triple A Elks.
Well, I'd always heard of, the Allen Cup, and even down playing pro hockey, you know, there'd be other guys, you know, usually from the East, from Ontario or something, talking about their buddies back playing in the Allen Cup. And I really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. And then I got back, and in 08, I came home from playing hockey, and that was my first year in Shelbrook. And I was like, well, why aren't we signing up for this right away? And they're like, well, you can't just sign up for AAA. You got to put a roster and you got to commit by a certain time. You got to do this. You got to do that. So it was whatever. I didn't think anything of it. I thought maybe because you won provincials, you would get a chance to compete for it or something. I wasn't too sure how it worked and really didn't pay too much attention. And so that 08-09 year, that was the first year in Shelbrook, and we won Senior A that year. So I was like, well, do we get to go? Like, I thought, you know, we won provincials, or can't we go to the next stage? Like, how do we get into this tournament? And they're like, no, you can't go. Whatever, didn't think anything of it. And then in 2012, we were competing in Senior A Provincials, and I had signed on with Rosetown. That was the first year Rosetown went. Steve-O would have been with Lloyd that year, that they were hosting the Allen Cup that year. So I got the opportunity to jump on with Rosetown and go to the Allen Cup. And I was just, you know, a couple of years out of, two or three years out of pro hockey, and at this tournament, I was like, this is the best. You know, you got a little pregame skate, you got naps in the afternoon, and it was, you know, a full week of tournament, but, you know, every day, playing every day, and really not being at probably top physical condition. You know, your body's really taking a toll by the end of it. So then we lost in the final that year to Southeast Prairie Thunder. That was their first of, I think, three Allen Cup victories maybe or something. So we lost that year. And then after that year, I went back to Shelbrook and was like, we've got to get in this tournament, or we've got to try and compete for this tournament or something. So then I called Ediger in Rosetown and said, you know, really don't want to, you know, step on toes or whatever. Like, we would like to form our own team and then, you know, play against you guys and get some exhibition games. And I guess we'll have to play down against you. But again, I had no idea that you had to basically sign on in August in the summertime before the season even started. And senior hockey can be an influx of players to having 9 players and trying to scrape by and get players. So it was a big commitment on our side, which I really didn't realize. You know, you're basically saying to your league team that we're just playing league this year. We're not going to go on a provincial run. We're not going to go into provincials, which was kind of shitty that way.
How good was your team? Obviously, you know, winning provincial A, no slouch. How good was your team and how hard was it to initially start to get guys to, you know, be convinced to come and try out the Shelbrooke AAA team when Rosetown was such a wagon the year before?
You know, we felt we probably had a pretty good core of guys in Shelbrooke. You know, like any senior hockey team, if you've any given night, you've got 3 lines, you've probably got a stronger number one line or whatever. And in Shelbrooke, we were the same. We were maybe a little bit deeper because we did have a pretty good following with players from, you know, Shelbrooke had some good talent. You know, Mason Wallen and the Rass brothers were out of there, Curtis Olson. So they had Drew Furster. They had a lot of guys right in Shelbrooke. And then we had, you know, the Hugh Hamiltons and the Luke Fritjaws and, you know, those guys that were out of Martinsville and Mormon. So we had a pretty good core and everybody was on board with it. It was just, you know, when you got into it and trying to recruit people is kind of, I guess, where the money would have started, right? It would have been like, you know, what can you do for me kind of thing. And it was like, well, I don't know what we can do for you, but don't you want a chance to maybe play some AAA hockey? So I guess we kind of ran into that, and it was even getting guys to commit and put them on a roster. And then when it actually senior hockey started and you got into your league and then we started to schedule some exhibition games, it was then where we kind of, you know, started to run into issues as of players, because they're playing on different teams and then they're wanting, you know, to be reimbursed for travel or this or that. So that's where kind of, I guess, you know, the behind the scenes kind of got a little interesting.
I guess the first year that you guys go AAA, the way I understand it is Aki Seitsinen, who was playing for the Prince Albert Raiders, would have been, I guess, one of your major pickups, along with Kelly Gard in goal. Maybe were those guys playing any senior? How did it, you know, how did you get those guys, I guess, as a couple of solid pickups?
Yeah, I think Gardo was kind of floated around, played some senior hockey. And we had got him, actually, he's a cousin of Mason Wallen. And obviously, PA being a small place, you kind of know who's who. And I think he might have been playing in Tisdale maybe the year before. And then some other teams, you know, I think he had, was a very good goalie. So he had the ability to kind of put a price tag on his own, you know, where he wanted to play kind of thing. And then in Shelbrooke, you know, he was in PA. So it was, you know, I think he was driving out to out by Lloyd somewhere. They had teams out there that he was playing and you know, per game kind of thing. So then we got him into Shelbrooke and you know, easy commute for him. So it worked out really well. And obviously, you know, at that point in time, you're thinking we're stealing games based on our goaltending, because that's kind of how it was. You know, we ran into him in Tisdale and we had a powerhouse in Shelbrooke and you know, you run into a goalie like that. He was still very good. And Aki Seitsinen kind of fell into our lap. He was, I think he was a third or fourth rounder to the Flames. And he was going back to play second or third year pro. He's from Finland and they had visa issues or something. So he was actually skating with us in the fall, like in October, and, you know, 2 laps ahead of everybody and just like, wow, like, who is this guy? He was 24, I think, or something, like 6'3". Like, how do we get this guy on board? And his visa fell through and he ended up not going back and playing pro hockey again. So he ended up playing senior hockey with us that year and obviously was a really big part of our team that year. I think he led our team in scoring and stuff like that.
Okay, so then it's the playdowns of 2013 to go to the 2013. This is your first foray into, you know, the AAA ranks. You guys played Lloydminster in the first round of the Saskatchewan playdowns. You beat them 10-2 and then 5-4. So you sweep Lloyd, then you go and play Rosetown, who obviously you have a history with.
Yeah.
And you guys, you couldn't ask for a better start in that series.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy.
Up 2-0, so you win game one in double overtime. Then you win game two, 6-3, and you guys are in the driver's seat. But what happened? So you're up 2-0 in a best of five. They come back and win the series, winning three straight. What happened there?
I have no idea. I know, I think, did we play the first game in Rosetown?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that first game in Rosetown, I think, was an eye-opener for a lot of us. That rink is... I really don't enjoy the rink. It was very tough, and I think we got out of there with a double OT win and was kind of like, wow, this is fantastic. And came back to Shelbrook, bigger ice surface. Obviously, you're at home. You feel comfortable. We had a really good game, and I think we played a lot better that game, beating them 6-3 and thinking, okay, you know, we got game one. Even if we go back in game three, we know it's going to be a battle. If we end up losing, we're still going to come back. And, you know, they win that game three in Rosetown. And these were heated battles. Like, they had a really good team. They had, you know, Endicott in the middle there, who had played a bunch of NHL games, and he was taking all the draws. And, you know, they had good goaltending. And, you know, the big guy, big Turner on defense was, you know, a pain in the ass for a lot of people. You know, big man. And the games got physical and they got heated, and, you know, the barn in Rosetown is sold out and people are hanging from the rafters, and 50-50s are like $5,000 or $8,000. Like, it was bonkers, man. You couldn't find a seat in that rink, I don't think. And what was the score in game four? Was that double overtime as well?
Game, yeah. So game three, you guys go back to Rosetown, you lose 3-1. Then game four in Shelbrook, double overtime, 3-2. And then you got to go back to the rink that you love in Rosetown for game five.
Right, and game four was, we had chances, they had chances, and that Turner puck got rimmed around, and that Turner, I think he's a right shot defenseman, just pulled it off the wall, and it was a snapshot, seeing eye shot, and there was traffic and guard was down, and it like went up over his shoulders. Like, he didn't even see it. Nobody even saw it really go in, and it was just an eruption on their bench. And it was just like, are you kidding me? Like, we're heading back to Rosetown after being up 2-0. And it was like, oh,
wind out of the sails. Yeah, and they have looks like Luke Hunter and JJ Hunter, which obviously helps.
They got the Hunter brothers there. They had I think Tordick and Bucher were both there maybe that year. Jared Jagow, you throw in there, Endicott, Chad Starling, another big huge defenseman. Yeah. You know, Casey Lee running around out there stirring shit. They had a really good team. They had a lot of players in their lineup that were, you know, from surrounding areas or whatever, and they were really good.
Solid. So then the next year, 2014, you guys, I guess you get a taste of it, and it's got to eat at you because, you know, Rosetown, I guess, beats Southeast, and they advanced to the Allen Cup there again. So now you guys had your first taste as Shelbrook, a chance to, like I said, reload a bit. And that's when you come onto the scene, Steve DeSilva. You know, you did the thing with Lloyd Minster a couple of years before that. What do you remember about the first call or the negotiation to head to Shelbrook?
Well, yeah, I'd been, you know, obviously was following the AAA scene the last few years with Shelbrook and Rosetown. And I remember I just got a call from, I think it was...
Kerber, probably.
Yeah, Sean Kerber, and he called, and he just, you know, was wondering if I'd be interested in doing it again, and thought, sure. And, you know, with Shelbrook, I found the big thing was it was just about being a part of the team. You know, like Tommy talked about earlier in the conversation, that it wasn't necessarily about being compensated. It was about the opportunity for a chance to play in the Allen Cup. And I think for a lot of, you know, for a city kid like myself, grew up in Saskatoon, didn't know much about senior hockey at all. And when you start learning about the Allen Cup, you realize how special it is. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to play in two of them and ended up being a coach in my third Allen Cup. So when Sean called and asked if I wanted to be a part of it, I jumped on board right away. And
Did you have a hand in bringing anyone else in 2014 there?
Not so much in 2014. I know in 2016, a bunch of guys I played with when I was younger were already in Shelbrook. They went there to kind of be part of their league team. So then we went back in 2016. But 2014, I just kind of, you know, kind of, I knew a lot of the names that they were throwing out, and they just kind of asked if I wanted to be a part of it. And, you know, definitely was something I wanted to do.
How big of a part were you, Chris, in, you know, I guess getting a squad together for another run at things that, over that summer?
I think a lot of stuff went through me. Sean Kerber was our manager for years out there, and they ran a great organization, and you know, hats off to them, obviously. And they know that for, you know, the behind the scenes stuff. And like I said, you know, a lot of players in senior hockey, you don't, you know, you're playing senior hockey to really, you're not thinking of anything other than having a good time with your buddies and a cold beer after. And if you win the game, then, you know, that's even better. So the behind the scenes where Sean was on the phone a lot, and obviously competitive to a point where he wants an Allen Cup, and how do we go about doing it? So there was a lot of time going through different rosters, and, you know, that was kind of nice at that time where you could go on to any of these forums or whatever, or league, like a lot of the leagues had websites, so you could go and you could print rosters, and you could HockeyDB people and see if you knew the names and, you know, who they were. So there was, I think there was quite a bit of a process after that first year. I think the first year where everybody was, you know, gung-ho about it, but then you play that first year and you're up to, and you lose to Rosetown and your season's done, you know, going that triple A or going that senior A route, like even to this day, that whole five series that you end up playing, there's nothing that beats senior A. It was kind of, Triple A was you'd play one team and then have to wait another month until you played. Where that senior A run is like you're almost 8 weeks straight of playing league, playing provincials. So then when we did lose to Rosetown, I a lot of people, like I said, were gung-ho off the start. And then they didn't realize that, you know, there were some other pieces that come in to fit the puzzle. So they were either weren't happy with those decisions. So then you kind of feel the fallout maybe in Shelbrook a little bit of guys not wanting to come back. So then you're back to recruiting, you know, newer guys to, you know, come play in Shelbrook. But definitely spent a lot of time. Kerber was usually in town every day and usually at my office every day, popping in with new names and new mm-hmm. phone numbers. And some guys would commit and then they'd call back and say, no, I don't want anything to do with it. So there was a lot of that stuff going on too.
Yeah, because you guys lose guard. That's one, you know, glaring omission the next year. But you pick up Brennan Cuthbert in goal, which no slouch there.
No, like he fell into our lap too. All of a sudden, Cutter arrived on the scene and it was like, who's this guy? You know, like he'd come to the rink and eating beef jerky and drinking a protein shake or something. And it was like, you know, 6'3" and he's just in shape and a really good goalie to boot. So he kind of all of a sudden appeared and was like, hey, can I come and play with you guys next year? Or it was a word of mouth, like, I got a buddy that plays in the Adult Safe Hockey League or something in Saskatoon. Why don't you contact him and see if he wants to play senior hockey? And then, boom, Cutter was around for probably 3 years or 4 years with us, I think, as our goalie.
Was it, I guess you kind of touched on it a bit. And, you know, Steve, for you, maybe it's you know, one of those things too, where you're an outsider, you're coming in. Was there a little bit of resentment within the community that, you know, okay, these guys are doing this again. There's really nobody that we recognize locally, which happens in senior hockey a lot.
I think by that time, obviously enjoyed my time in Shelbrook and, you know, built a relationship with a lot of people out in Shelbrook over the years. But, you know, senior hockey and fan-wise and fan base, I know we had a bunch of sponsors, you know, the people that sponsor for your programs and, you know, help out that way and you know, very grateful for all that. But fan base-wise, like, until provincials came or playoffs came, there was no one in the rink, you know, your family or your wives or your kids. So, you know, at any given day, you had 25 people in the rink, maybe. But soon as provincials came around, which – I don't think there was resentment. I think people would have maybe wanted more local talent, but by that time, you know, 08, 09, after that, 9-10, I think, in Shelbrooke, you know, the Rass boys had basically kind of left, and Furster was out of the game. And, you know, there wasn't really, there might have been two or three locals anyways just on our league team. So there was probably people asking why there isn't more locals, but I don't think there was resentment. Yeah. I think I thought the community rallied behind us really well, because that rink was full for every playoff game that we ever had out there.
So on that team in 2014, as you go make another run here, like, Steve, were you playing league with them too? And was this most of this team trying to play as much league together?
Well, yeah, no. In 2014, I was just, I guess, one of the imports or whatever, the APs that they could add. I was playing in Beachy, and so then I was just going up to Shelbrooke. So it was kind of tough because, I mean, you kind of follow along with their league team, and then all of a sudden come provincial time, you get a phone call saying, yeah, we're going to have a quick practice so everybody can get to know each other, and then get into game one in Rosetown. So it's kind of different, but, you know, luckily you kind of have a little bit of a relationship with some of the guys on the roster, so you're not going in and just not knowing a single person.
You guys get Rosetown in the first round that year, 2014, as Lloydminster, Rosetown, and Shelbrooke are the teams that are going AAA in the province. So game one, you get to play in Rosetown that you like so much, Thompson, and you guys lose 5-2. Again, a best of five series. But so now I guess that's, four straight losses to Rosetown.
Yeah, I think that was quite heated, that one too. And again, it was, you know, we get the draw and they've got home ice again. So, you can hear the rumblings already. And it's like, wouldn't they flip-flop it? You know, they got home ice last year. Why don't we have home ice this year? Blah, blah, blah. Whatever, same old banter. And I remember that game one going in there and obviously wanting to win, and then it getting heating and a lot of penalties, I think, with a lot of sidelines going on. And again, the rink being full and walking out of there with a 5-2 loss. And you've started this love hate or whatever you want to call it. And it just comes down to competition, right? Like, you can be on the ice with somebody and despise them, but at the end of the day, we were all in the same situation. We're playing senior hockey. It's not like we're doing this for a living or anything. But at the end of the day, you're off ice. You know, you're a hockey player, and you could go have a cold beer with them or whatever. Yeah. But it was a great rivalry. I think the hockey was really good, and at the end of the day, the guys, everybody battled, and it's hockey, right? Tempers flare and stuff like that, but. We walked out of there with another loss and tried to figure out how the hell we're going to do this, you know?
Yeah. So you guys lose first game 5-2 in Rosetown. Then you come back, you win 5-1 in Shelbrooke. And then game three, probably the pivotal game of the whole series, you guys win 3-2 in double overtime in Rosetown. And then you finish it off with a 5-2 win in Shelbrooke in game four. Steve-O, what do you remember about that series?
Well, yeah, I remember game one going into Rosetown. It was, you knew there's going to be a rivalry. You knew it was going to be rough and intense. And losing that game, I think it was, you know, it wasn't the worst thing for us. It just seemed, you know, like there was a lot of penalties and it was heated. And I think guys got thrown to the fire like right away. We knew what it was going to be all about. And you know, then going on with the series, you know, you win game two and then all of a sudden you win game three. And then, you know, we're up 2-1 and, you know, talking to the guys who were there the year before, they know that if we got a chance here, we've got a stomp in their throat. And, you know, we get up to, you know, game four back in Shelbrooke. And I think we just kind of seemed like as soon as you got to the rink that night, it just, there was confidence that we were just going to get it done. And yeah, it was a great series. Like it was something that, you know, I hadn't played in a long time, you know, getting into something that heated and that intense with that, you know, amount of skill all on the ice. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, luckily we were able to, you know, squeak game four out and move on.
So the funny thing is then you guys play Lloyd, who got the bye in the Saskatchewan final, and Shelbrooke wins best of 3-2-0, and the games weren't even close. It was like 11-1 and 8-1. What happened to Lloyd? What happened in that series?
I remember that year, I think Lloyd kind of just kind of went with their league team, and I don't know if they really picked anybody up. And
oh, yeah.
I remember, I think we was game one in Shelbrooke. And
yeah.
Yeah, and I remember we whooped them quite bad. And then I remember, you know, going back for game two, it was almost like we didn't even need to take the whole squad. Like, no disrespect to those guys, but it was just like, and then they got it done. I remember I didn't go to game two because in Beachy, we were that year we were making a run in Provincial D. Huh. So, I mean, we were playing, you know, on our own team. So I think we just went with almost 15 guys up to Lloyd for game two.
You win the province, which is awesome. You get the banner. And then you have to go play Southeast Prairie Thunder. And this is Shelbrook's first, I guess, the Rathburger Cup. And you hear the stories about, you know, how tough it is to go there. First off, you guys go there and you lose three straight. But did you guys go with a full team, or because it starts, you know, on a Friday, the guys planning on coming later and then you would have to play like Monday, Tuesday or something weird?
Yeah, so I think it was actually we went Tuesday and we played game one Wednesday, and it was like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then I remember the first two games, I think we just put together kind of 15 to 16 guys. And then come Friday, we had a couple more guys show up, but, you know, we lost Friday and then that was it. But I mean, it's such a tough thing to do. And it's the same, you know, it's the same for everybody. You know, when Southeast came to Rosetown those couple of years, you know, the first couple of games, they only brought 12 or 13. So it's, you know, it's fair for everybody, but it's a real tough thing to do. But I don't know.
How were you playing? Were you playing with Beecher? You guys were done by this point already.
Well, I was still playing with Beechey. So we had actually just like the weekend before we lost in the provincial final to Gull Lake. And I remember part of the reason why Derek Keller and Will Rafji, they didn't come, is because they were playing with Wilkie in the provincial final that weekend. So they weren't even able to come till like Saturday or till Sunday. I think they had game two of their against Rokenville or something they were playing.
Yeah.
And they didn't even make it to that 14 Rathgerber Cup. But it's, you know, you're missing, you know, two of your top 5D probably. Yeah. When Keller was, you know, our best defenseman, as he was for a long time.
That's tough, because when you look at it, Chris, you know, you guys, although you're going with missing some bodies and some, you know, firepower, you guys, every game's close, 2-1, 4-2, 3-2 in overtime. You guys are right there missing those guys.
Yeah, it was, even to this day, I think you look back on any games I've ever played against Southeast. We lost to them in the final in the Allen Cup. I think it was 1-2 or something. And just very limited chances around the net. And I think Christie's was a net. And, you know, they always said he's like the sixth guy out there. And any kind of dump ins, he's shooting it out. And that rink, and I don't know if you've been down to Southeast, that rink, it's not the neutral zone's very small. It's kind of a wide rink. It's a neutral zone like Rosetown, I guess, very, very small. And the offense, defensive zones are gigantic, right? So you're basically chipping it in from center ice, and this goalie's coming out to play it. And they had a very, I guess, strong D core. And then they had Terry Yake, it seemed like, at the age of 50 or whatever, was out there winning draws and scoring goals. And every game, it was very, very tough for us to generate any kind of offense. It was like an uphill battle. It seemed like if they've got one or two goals, they could basically close it out with scoring no more than two goals. So it was in the same, we thought we would have a better outing, but like you said, you take that chance, and then there's teams that are still in provincials playing, and you're short guys. And yeah, you just try and go. Reacher had come down. But again, even Reacher, you know, like he wasn't playing hockey anywhere. He was just joining us for games. So, you know, it's you know how it is. It's tough to jump into a hockey game, even if you are, you know, in some kind of shape or really good shape. It's totally different when you get out there and have to move your legs and get into it.
So that kind of concludes things 2014. Now, Chris, what happens in 2015? Because Rosetown, no one competes against Rosetown in the province. What happened in Shelbrooke? It was just enough, or you guys needed a year off?
Yeah, I think it had gone. I think we just had to sit back and look and just, you know, is this a good decision to continue, or are we going to somehow disrupt what Shelbrook has done for so many years in senior hockey? And just the amount of time, right? I think it got to the amount of time and the amount of money that needed to be raised and the amount of work that, you know, Sean Kerber had to put in. And the recruiting just got from year to year. It was anyone you picked up or called, there was a demand. It was never, you know, like Steve said, there was, you know, when we first got a hold of Steve and Patty Say and Cody Danberg and guys like that, they were just like, hey, sounds good. Sign me up. Let's go here. And it got to the point where you would call, you know, different guys throughout. And it was just a demand of what can you do for me? And it was like, well, we can guarantee you some AAA games and maybe a berth to the Allen Cup. How does that sound? And that didn't go very far. So it was, I think we took a year off and said, you know, what's our game plan? And then we kind of, I think, had a discussion maybe with Patty Say and Steve O and those guys that were in Davidson. There was a group in Davidson, and we thought if we could, the year after that or something, somehow get them to come up and join us and play with our league team, then we would have, you know, 14 guys already, and we would only have to add, you know, four or five pieces. I think we looked at it thinking we can't continue to maybe add, you know, 12 or 14 pieces and expect to maybe have a good outcome, rather than let's get a nucleus and see if we can play together for a year and then add, you know, Steve from the outside or Chris Duran from the outside, or, you know, players like that to really help us.
What happened in 2015 then for senior hockey in Shelbrook? Did you play there? Did a lot of these guys go back and just kind of do the local thing and go A, or, you know, what happened there?
Yeah, we would have went, we would have just went A again. It looks like we had maybe a 500 year. We lost in the league final maybe that year. Cutter had come back, and then we had picked up, you know, some Mitch Berg and Carter Berg. I think they had come out of junior hockey. Maybe they were young. And it was more just the locals. Like, now that I'm looking at the list, it was Craig Vallette was around, me and Craig Vallette, Lee Spencer. But I think we went back to just, you know, what we could get around the PA area and locals. We picked up some Blay brothers from Canwood that year, that Josh Belair, some guys that were deemed local because they played minor hockey in Shelbrook. And then we just went the A route. I don't know what happened in A provincials that year, but we might have lost out maybe the first round. I'm not too sure.
So 2015, Steve, where do you end up? Do you go, you're just Beachy, or?
Yeah, just kept playing in Beachy, and kind of heard some rumblings throughout that summer that Shelbrook was thinking about, you know, putting another team together, and they started grabbing some guys and getting a good nucleus to start with, just because it is so hard to throw together, you know, 10, 12 guys into one game and on one roster when they don't really know each other. And that was, I think, what Tommy was talking about. You add guys who already know each other was a big thing, because then it's just like, boom, you got some chemistry right away.
Do you remember, Chris, on the decision and, you know, after that 15 year and saying, you know what, we miss this AAA thing and this Allen Cup goal and what we were building at. Do you remember the discussion and then when you guys decided, you know what, let's do it again next year after a year off?
Yeah, there was, we would have had a meeting after that year. And again, at that point I would have been probably 36 or something. So I was probably getting towards the end of senior hockey, really. And again, it was either we're going to do it and commit to it. And I think that's when the conversations had come in with Patty Say, because he had been with us for that other year. Him and Danberg had been, and they were playing out of Davidson. So I think the conversation would have started in the summer with them. And obviously they had in turn had to let Davidson know that really five of their five best players weren't going to be returning there, kind of thing. So I think we kind of waited on that as far as Patty Say having to make that commitment too. And I think once they had a discussion with that group of guys out of Davidson, that they were going to come to Shelbrook, then that was our, you know, goal. Okay, we will register for AAA. We will have a nucleus right in Shelbrook, and then we will add pieces to it. But again, it was, it was a pretty big decision, obviously, you know, with senior hockey and again, taking a senior A run out of it. And at that point in time, it was like, if we're going to do it, let's do it. And Southeast was hosting that year, was hosting the Allen Cup. So then there wouldn't be an interprovincial playoff because Manitoba's hosting. And so it would have just been us and Rosetown. And at that point we registered, and then you're waiting, I think it was July 31st or whatever you got to register by. And then boom, we saw Rosetown was in it. But then by Christmas, Rosetown pulled their name out of the hat. So then it was only us. And then we got word, finalized word, that you don't have to have a play down with Manitoba. You guys are going straight to the Allen Cup this year. So there was a really good feeling, I think, after Christmas with our group that we had. We had a really good league team. Steve was down in Beachy. Redlick was down there with him in Beachy. So those were two guys that were going to come and join us. And then we were, from there, it was kind of going through the league rosters again and finding guys maybe in a twosome, right? I didn't really know a lot of the players at that point in time. But, you know, I look at Will Rathje and Derek Keller. Obviously, Derek Keller, I think, was even player of the tournament in 2016 when we went to the Allen Cup. Hell of a defenseman. And they had been with us for a couple years. Steve-O was with us. And then we just kind of went through different rosters in different leagues. And you know, I didn't know anything about what's his name? Well, Steve McAway, yeah. Steve McAway and this Travis Granbois were playing out of Bigger. And that Granbois seemed like a hell of a player. His points were, I think he's from out east. He had a French accent. I'm pretty sure he was from out east, but somehow they got into, I think Bigger had come back on the scene and kind of was trying to get jobs for people out in that area again, with the tank services or whatever they were doing. And Steve McAway came on the scene. I'd played pro against him years before, and he was just a huge man, you know, on the back end, and could move the puck around. And the other guy was Russ Nielsen. Knew nothing about him other than Patty Say saying this, you know, how good he was. And when he actually did come for a skate, we had a couple skates in Saskatoon. And Russ Nielsen was one of the best on our defensemen on our team as well that year. So it was. I think that's how it would have stemmed down. It was the commitment from the Davidson guys to join us in the Fort Carlton Hockey League that year, and then us saying, "Okay, we'll put our name in AAA, and here we go." So,
Steve, it was really fun for you, and probably an exciting summer going into the year, knowing you, although you're going to play in Beachy, that you're doing the Shelbrook thing with so many guys that you either played Huskies or Saskatoon contacts with.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, you start hearing about the names that guys have committed, and then, you know, even like, you know, Tommy's asking Patty Say and Kyle Bordas and Andrew Bailey, like these guys that I have, you know, a lot of history with. And it's just like, yeah, this would be awesome for a chance to play with, you know, some of your best friends, guys you have a big connection with in the Allen Cup. And then as the year went on and, you know, Rosetown pulled their name, and I was just like, holy smokes, you know, now we got a free ride to this, and we get a chance to play in, you know, such a great tournament with a lot of people that you have a lot of, you know, respect for. And then, you know, the part was that going back to Shelbrook is, you know, we'd already built that connection from 2014 with a lot of the guys that were still there, like with Tommy and Cutter and Terge and Curtis Olsen and Lee Spencer, who ended up having to be the coach come Allen Cup time. But it was, you know, just a, you know, relationships that you just built and throughout.
How hard was it though? Although it's, you know, reassuring and awesome, it's like, yeah, you punched your ticket, you get to go. How hard was it though, I guess, not really competing in a lot of games with that team?
Yeah, and I think once we found out that, you know, we had the free ride to Allen Cup, you know, the guys in Shelbrook did tried to do the best they could to get guys prepared for the Allen Cup. But I mean, if you're not playing like those games against Rosetown, if we would have been able to play the 2014 series in 2016 with the same outcome where we got to go to the Allen Cup, I bet you it would have went a long ways come Allen Cup time. But, yeah, you know, you can only practice for so long. And, you know, I think that year playing in Beachy, I think we lost in the first round provincials and first round of league. So we're done, you know, mid-February. And now it's like, well, the Allen Cup's not till the middle of April. What am I going to do for 2 months? And so it's hard on that way. But, you know, that's when, you know, picking guys in pairs, is that, you know, you at least you got, you know, you can put two guys like me and Redlick on one line and you could add Tommy with us. So at least two guys have, you know, some chemistry. And, you know, and then you had Bordy and Bales, you know, with somebody else. You know, there's a lot of history in some of the pairs that we went with our forward group.
Same question to you, because, you know, you guys don't start the Allen Cup until April 11th. When you got all these guys scattered from, you know, all over the province, how did you get them together? I guess you're practicing in Saskatoon. Like, what was the game plan to kind of get guys together periodically, or how did you do it?
Again, I think a lot of that conversations, either checking in was Kerber, and he was, you know, making sure where you're at, or if everything was still going, and, you know, the chirps of, you know, make sure you get on the bike, or, you know, stuff like that. But again, like Steve said, you have that risk of losing out the first week of February in your league, and it's game time. We looked at the hockey schedules in Saskatoon, and I think we had rented ice probably 6 or 8 times. I don't even know. And kind of went down there through the month of March and tried to pick some times where we could get in and get a good hour skate in. Cause Saskatoon was pretty neutral for everybody. A lot of the guys were in the Saskatoon area and the PA area. I think Steve-O might have had maybe the longest drive. Other than that, everybody was kind of situated PA, Saskatoon area. Some guys were in North Battleford, Keller, and Rathjay.
So you guys fire things up on Monday, April 11th in the beautiful Steinbach, Manitoba Arena. Yeah, and it's your first game for some guys, you know, in almost 2 months playing. You guys get to play the host Southeast Prairie Thunder. Doesn't really go as planned. You guys lose 3-0.
Kind of remember that game, being a lot of, you know, just a lot of rust and just getting used to, you know, timing and stuff. And like, I think we had quite a few chances right off the hop, and you know with Steve Christie, the goalie they had in Southeast, you know, we'd known what he's all about. He loves to come out and play the puck. We kind of planned that. We knew that we had to keep the puck as much as possible. And I can't remember for sure, but I don't even know if we gave up a 5-on-5 goal. Like, I think they scored like maybe one shorthanded goal and two power play goals that game, and we lost 3-0. And I think 5-on-5, we played well. It was just our special teams, which, you know, come with a lot of practice and game time that we didn't get. And when it got down to the Allen Cup, that first game, it was just everybody just wasn't quite on the same page.
So then you guys, you lose 3-0 in that game one. And then game two, you guys are playing the Grand Falls Windsor. So obviously a team from out east. And a 3-2 loss. So you're 0-2. You know, again, in that game, you guys outshoot them. You guys must have been playing well. Just maybe things, like Steve-O said, weren't working on the power play and whatnot.
Yeah, I think you know, that first game with Southeast and losing that game, and you know, just trying to reassure everybody that, you know, even if you do go 0-2, you know, there's still a shot. It's maybe a back-to-back days, which aren't beneficial at some time, but going into that second game and losing that game, I'm not too sure. I think we would have had our whole lineup there, but it would have been, the specialty teams where, you know, a short tournament like that and a short amount of time and taking advantage of, you know, situations, you know, taken advantage of just based on, you know, trying to maybe put some lines together and matching that way. But I felt like, you know, two games, even against Southeast, like Steve said there, you know, Terry Yake scored a shorthanded goal. You know, they had a couple chances, then they scored, and we had chances and we couldn't. But I felt we got our feet wet and those first two games, and we had some good skates. We had a day off. I think maybe Patty Say joined us. I don't know if he was there for the first two games. He might have joined us for game three, maybe. And I think we had then had him and Bales and Bordis together, kind of thing. But yeah, it was kind of, you know, again, you put all your time and effort and you sign up for this and all of a sudden you're 0-2 and it's like, you know, shit.
But that's okay, because on Thursday, April 14th in the quarterfinal, you guys get to play Stony Creek. And for a team that was maybe struggling offensively, you guys explode and you win 7-4. Outshoot them badly. Steve-O, was that kind of you guys maybe feeling now that you're kind of firing on most of the cylinders?
Barn, I don't know if you know, like there's a big story before that game. Yeah. So we're scheduled to play, we finished third in our pool, so we're scheduled to play the second place team in the other pool, which at the time was Ile de Chien, another Manitoba team. So, you know, 4 o'clock start, we show up, you know, get to the rink at 2 o'clock, and you could just kind of tell something was up. You know, we show up and there's a bunch of Hockey Canada guys with their suits on, and the Bentley general, like Jeff McGinnis and Wade Giesbrecht, they're just kind of hanging around these guys. So whatever, we just kind of get dressed, get ready. And as soon as we're about to go up for warm up at 3:30, all of a sudden there's a bunch of scurrying happening and they're just not sure if we should go and warm up. And we're just like, what's going on? So we go out on the ice, warm up, come back off the ice. Well, now we've found out that the game is temporarily postponed. So we're sitting in the room just kind of waiting like to hear what's going on. And finally they come and tell us that, yeah, no, game's canceled. There's been a protest. And nobody knew exactly who protested, but I think we kind of all figured out who did it. And somebody had protested that Ile de Chien had too many imports or illegal players on their roster. So they ended up losing their one win that they had in the round robin, which in turn made them finish third in their pool. So now here it is at 4:30, and they tell us to go back to the hotel. We're going to end up playing Stony Creek now at 8 o'clock in the first semifinal. And the second semifinal actually went on after us at like 10:30 or 11 o'clock start time. And it just happened to be that Bentley wasn't a part of either one of those games as they got a bye to the semifinal. So now four teams are scrambling, trying to, you know, get things figured out. So finally, we went back to the hotel. I think we hung out for like half hour, 45 minutes. And we went back to the rink, got our gear on again, and just, you know, just kind of joking, like, okay, are we actually going to play this time or what's going on? So, yeah, we went out and, yeah, we just kind of clicked that night. I think the whole day kind of just set up for, you know, the way the game went. We won 7-3 or 7-4. And, we just kind of dominated them right from the start. And we just kind of revealed. And we were real happy with the way things turned out after the longest day, the longest pregame we thought we didn't expect to have.
What do you remember about that story, Chris?
Oh, yeah, it was a very frustrating day. I think I was quite heated. I would have been on Twitter, I think, at that point in time and was tweeting Hockey Canada and everything about the Allen Cup. And it was a melee. And like Steve said, we were 4 o'clock game. So you're there, you know, and you're whatever, you're restless throughout the day and you finally get there. You're 0-2, you know, you got to win or you're going home. And like, you know, big deal. Big deal for myself, big deal for the Elks, big deal for everybody in the room. And, there was just more commotion than usual, but we had gone out for our warm-ups. We had come off for our warm-ups. We had gone back on the ice, and we were on the blue lines for the anthem. And the door was still open for them to come out. They didn't come out for warm-ups. And we're still waiting there. We're waiting there. We're lined up. And then we're kind of, the refs are like, no, get off the ice. We're like, what is going on here? So then we get word that they have illegal players, blah, blah, blah. And it came down to somebody reporting who had the wrong cards filled out. Oh. But, you know, the person behind it or whatever, you know, waited right until warmups to produce these cards to Hockey Canada. They didn't do it the day before. They knew right from day one that these guys were playing with too many cards on their team, but they waited right before. So like Steve said, our game then got postponed. Some guys went to the hotel. We ordered subs in. Some guys stayed at the rink from 2 o'clock till seven, till our game started. And then Southeast played after us at, yeah, till midnight. Wow. And then the winner of that midnight game was playing Bentley at 4 o'clock the next day. Like it was the biggest horse trading. I was furious. I couldn't believe that a Hockey Canada event could go this way. Everyone said, well, if you have illegal players, you're kicked out of the tournament. So you're telling me these guys have a chance to still win the Allen Cup? Like they've been playing with illegal players, but they're still in the tournament? And there was zero answers from Hockey Canada.
Just so you guys were supposed to play Ile de Chien and then you ended up playing Stony Creek instead?
Yeah.
And then Ile de Chien played South. Really nice game. Damberg, couple goals. Bordas, a nice game. So you guys are rolling. Yeah. So then the next game, so now you guys are into the semifinals, regardless of the 0-2 start.
Yeah.
You know, you guys have a chance and you come up against Bentley. strong team, whatnot. You've probably been scouting them all week. You know, what do you remember about that game first to you, Chris?
Ready for them. I think they were touted for a lot of years and probably still are. I think their organization is, you know, you hear all the stories that, you know, they've got their own rink and dressing room, and they roll into these tournaments and kind of like the Horse Lake Thunder, that, you know, they roll in with their entourage and they've got massage tables and exercise bikes. And, you know, we got guys having a dart outside and kind of, you know, maybe throwing on some Flexol and getting a stretch in that way. And, you know, it was just a whole different organization. So, and they were, I think they'd won the year before, you know, them in Southeast. It always seemed that Bentley was, you know, a champ at some point. And I think we felt really good. We I remember that game. I think opening draw came out and I'd had a chance right off the hop. There was a fumble at their blue line and it was kind of a semi breakaway. I'd gone in and goalie had made a nice save. We had some other chances. I think their first goal, maybe Will Rathjay had a heel pick and Buddy walked in on a breakaway and scored. Like they wasn't that they had a ton of chances, but again, you get into those, you know, don't want to make a mistake and you're in there and you're trying to, you know, not get scored on. And it was a battle. I really think we deserved a better fate in that game, but is what it is.
Yeah, Steve-O, we know, what do you remember? You guys were right there, right?
Yeah, I remember, you know, us being right there, we just seemed to be one shot away all the time. You know, just like the first two games, we just seemed to be one shot away from getting hot. You know, in the quarterfinal game against Stony Creek, we did get hot. And I just thought carrying that momentum into the semifinal against Bentley, we knew that, you know, they were maybe one of the favorites. And if we wanted to win, you're going to have to beat them either in the semifinal or the final. And, you know, we were confident. We felt good. And, you know, It's just one of those nights where it just didn't seem to just all click for us. And yeah, it was very frustrating and disappointing that we didn't win. But I, like Tommy said, I think we did deserve, you know, possibly a better fate, and mm-hmm. but, you know, it didn't happen. And Bentley goes on to win the tournament. So
that was definitely the end. Was there ever, you know, thoughts of bringing it back in 17 or 18?
I don't think I would have, I don't think I said no right after that. I think there would have been a period of discussing it, but initially, you know, all the volunteers and the people that were part of our organization that had come down and supported us, you know, they were there to, you know, to say that they would definitely be behind us if we wanted to choose to do it again. But it just came down, I think, to the time and the effort, right?
Yeah.
I know there was talk of it being back in Saskatchewan the next year possibly or something like that. So then there was talk of maybe forming that, but I don't know. I think, you know, like Steve was with us for a number of years and Patty Say and Danberg and those guys. And I think we put together the best that we could, that we felt. Obviously you'd like to tweak things here and there, but
to AAA it in those years, what kind of budget to run a team like that?
I think the budget, like when we first got into it and we were talking to Edinger out of Rosetown, you know, he said with the percentage that Hockey Canada kicks in for your travel and your hotel and stuff like that, depending on whatever, but they said anywhere from 75 to 100 grand was kind of mm-hmm. the fundraising that had to be done. You know, we needed a bus for the week. We needed hotels. And I know Hockey Canada did kick in a percentage, but we had a budget where we could, you know, we provided all the meals for the guys. You know, we pregame meals were on the team, you know, stuff like that, where we felt like if we were going to raise that money, then out of pocket would be, you know, if you wanted to have some beers on your own time, then basically that's kind of your own expense.
In those years, what was the craziest ask you guys ever got?
The craziest ask. Some guys were $500 a game right off the hop and sticks and gas. It was, there was a lot of demand and they were just throwing numbers around. We had supposedly the Al Anderson's out of Saskatoon had lost a skate and he needed new skates. You know, it was kind of, you know, if you can get me some custom made skates, you know, I'll make sure that I make the game. Or, you know, there was some crazy things, I guess, on that side.
Oh my, crazy indeed. I thank Chris Thompson and Steve DeSilva and giving us some insight in what it took to start a AAA team out there in Shelbrooke. More AAA senior talk and senior talk in general, always on the podcast. But coming up, we're going to sit down with some key members of the old Lloydminster Border Kings. Of course, they were a power for years in the AAA ranks, won a few Allen Cups. We're going to have a cool little story on them. These things don't happen without our friends at 016, Original 16. If you're crushing a few this week or this weekend, pick up a case locally made here in Saskatchewan. Great Western Brewing, thanks for jumping on board. Last Mountain Distillery in Lumsden, Saskatchewan. The distillery of choice for the Monday Nooner fellas. Ritchie Brothers Auctioneers. Spring season coming up. They're going to be busy. And of course, our title sponsor again, Rosetown Mainline GM and Rosetown Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. If you're looking for a vehicle, worth the drive every time to Rosetown, Saskatchewan. The king of trucks. Thanks to those guys. Thank you very much for tuning in and taking interest in the podcast. I'm Barney Shinkrook, and we'll talk to you again next week.